Oh my God. Are we really in season two already? Hey, beautiful humans. You're listening to the Human Experience Podcast, hosted by me, Kiara Marie. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner and a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. I'm here to share my human experience, as well as have these raw and powerful conversations with leaders in the health and wellness space. The Human Experience Podcast began because I truly believe our souls are here to experience a wide range of emotions, make mistakes, own our past traumas that led us to make them, and face our deepest fears in order to grow. The Human Experience is a conversation about self-development, conscious awareness, normal human responses, and connecting mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. The Human Experience promises to deliver authenticity and diversity. The Human Experience community is a group of humans doing the work so they can live their lives to their fullest potential and are here to break intergenerational family patterns so that generations to come can too. At The Human Experience, we're diving deep. Thanks so much for tuning in. Enjoy the show. You guys are in for a treat today. Today on the show, I have Adrienne Rommel, aka the Yoni Nutritionist. She is incredible. When you go to her Instagram account, you just see how beautiful she is inside and out. She radiates such a bright light. And yeah, that definitely attracted me to follow her. I first heard her on another podcast, True Sex and Wild Love, with Wit and Love on Instagram, if you guys follow her. True Sex and Wild Love is the podcast. It's amazing. Highly recommend. And that led me to follow her because I loved everything that she was saying on the episode. And yeah, now we recorded our first podcast episode together. Today on the show, her and I are going to be chatting about what the heck a yoni is, because that's one of the questions that I got. Her personal health journey with herpes simplex virus, reoccurring yeast infections, HPV, reoccurring UTIs and bacterial vaginosis as well, and what it's been like being diagnosed with herpes and how that's been made out to be this terrible, terrible thing. But she's been able to overcome it and speaking and opening up to sexual partners about it. We also chat about Candida and how this has impacted her and how she helps women today in her health programs overcome Candida. So if you don't know about Candida, we're going to break it down in the show. But basically, it's a fungus that lies in our guts, and we are supposed to have them in the right amounts, but they become an issue. Candida becomes an issue when it's overgrown. I had Candida. For me, it manifested as physical gut symptoms, dry scalp, halitosis, which is bad breath, white tongue. Acne. Yeah, the abdominal bloating and cramping, a ton of food sensitivities, brain fog, low energy, and just a really poor immune system. Some other symptoms include anxiety and depression as well. Oh, and severe sugar cravings. I mean, if you have severe sugar cravings, we need to look at the gut and see what gut infections could be underlying, such as Candida, because more than likely they're the ones who are screaming for sugar in your life. I love Adrienne and I's conversation on the episode today. She also shares her top recommendations for supplementation, the diet that she followed, and how she guides women for overcoming Candida, and as well as just all the other viruses and infections that can take place in the yoni, because it all circles back to gut health. I really enjoyed this episode, and I know you guys will too. So I'm going to stop talking now and enjoy.
Babe,
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Human Experience Podcast. You have no idea how much gratitude I have for my listeners and just being able to be in a space to create and to speak with these incredible guests that I have on the show. It is truly a dream. And I wanted to take a moment to chat about my private coaching that I am offering right now. I do offer 3 and 6 month options for those women who are my high achievers. And I feel like women in general kind of put a lot of pressure on themselves, whether it's internal or external pressure. I've just been seeing, myself included, with my clients, that the ones who develop symptoms, chronic symptoms especially, are the ones who are high achievers or put a lot of pressure on themselves or are easily stressed out. Just happens to be the way of the world, and that's okay. I've now been able to get to a place where I'm able to manage my chronic stress with some tools, which you have too. You have these tools. It's just a matter of accessing them. And having someone who has been there and who can guide you throughout a process, because I cannot tell you guys, I had my family and loved ones by my side throughout my entire journey, but they just never understood. They were there to support me and love me and tell me everything was going to be okay. But because I didn't have anyone who truly understood what it was like to be in my body, to feel how crippling it felt to experience the bloat that I did. I felt 6 months pregnant when I wasn't, and just my cycles were all over the place. Like, I was getting them 16 days late, and it was a mess, and my acne, and just going to the bathroom was a nightmare. I can't, it just felt like the end of the world. And at 20 something years old, that's not how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to be out there living your life and not let another day pass, because yeah, you only get this life once and you should live it to the best of your capabilities. So in my 3 month and 6 month programs, I do offer unlimited support via an app, which we call Voxer. It's like a walkie talkie. It's pretty awesome. So any questions that my clients have, if it's relating to a supplement, something that you get in the grocery store, how you're feeling, whatever, you have me literally in the palm of your hand. And then we do one-on-one, 1 hour calls every 2 weeks, and grocery list, recipes, the whole nine yards to get you started. And then we address diet, rest, exercise, stress, supplementation. These are all things that will get you on the right path to healing. No more guessing games. I do as well offer functional diagnostic lab testing. So if you are far enough in your journey, you're not getting answers, you've seen several doctors, you're just, your symptoms are all over the place and exacerbated, that's when I will offer lab testing. However, I do see a lot of clients that have never even stepped into a grocery store or even have cooked anything healthy and haven't tried those simple steps first, or not drinking enough water, you know, and so forth. So we will just start with nutritional therapy alone, because I see it as a profound impact on your body just by making those simple changes. And if we hit a wall and you're healing or whatever, then we can definitely step in with some functional diagnostic lab testing. So 3 and 6 month programs, they are awesome and I love them so much, and I love my clients dearly. So if you guys are interested in hearing more and scheduling a free symptom audit so that we can go over your symptoms to see if it would be a good fit to work with each other, you can schedule your free symptom audit in the link in my bio and my Instagram, or you can just shoot me an email at kiaramariewellness@gmail.com. Now back to the show. Hello, 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 everyone. I am so honored to have Adrienne Rommel on the show today. Welcome to the Human Experience, Adrienne.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to cover so much today. We're going to be talking about the yoni. And one of the questions that I got last night on Instagram was, what's yoni health? I didn't know about that word until like a year or so ago. And I'm so glad I did, because it's actually one of my favorite words right now.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. So what's a yoni?
So that's a really great question. And I get this a lot because not a lot of people know about it. But the yoni is a san the Sanskrit word for the female productive system.
Okay, see, I didn't even know
So,
that.
yeah. So it's not just our vagina or vulva, and womb. It's like everything. Everything. Our whole reproductive organs. And it's the Sanskrit name for that. And I thought, oh, it would be nice to call myself the yoni nutritionist because it sounds a little bit more friendlier as opposed to like the vagina nutritionist.
I love that.
Which, I mean, I think that could have, been a thing, but the yoni nutritionist, I think, sounds a little bit friendlier
Fun.
and
I love it.
fun.
I love it so much. And I get that vibe from you just going to your page. Everything's just bright and fun and sexy and just lively. So I really admire you. And I think our listeners will too. So did you learn that the yoni from like traveling abroad in Bali?
Actually, I learned it when I was first in Nicaragua
Oh.
because I used to live there. Yeah, and I was living on like a spiritual community on a volcanic island, and yeah, it was really nice. And I first started hearing about yoni there, and I was like, "What's that?" Apparently, like you, there's all kinds of things associated to the word yoni, like yoni steaming, yoni massage, which is like an internal massage and like mapping of your vagina to release a lot of trauma because we store a lot of trauma. A lot of women store a lot of trauma in our yonis, like sexual trauma or emotional trauma. And so many women really struggle with that. So there's yoni massage, there's yoni steaming, and now there's yoni nutrition.
Oh my God, yes, yoni nutritionist. Wait,
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by this. I never even thought to think about trauma being trapped inside. I've never heard of a yoni massage. So, what are some symptoms of maybe some underlying trauma in that area that, I mean, obviously if a trauma has occurred in that area, but like how would someone know that there's something going on down there?
A lot of anxiety. A lot of women experience a lot of anxiety when it comes to sex. A lot of women have a lot of fear around sex because of a sexual trauma in the past. The vaginal tightening, where it gets really, 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 really tight and it's actually painful to have sex, is a really great way to kind of like how a yoni massage can help. I don't do yoni massages personally, but that's kind of how trauma is stored in our yonis, and it's also very energetic. And this is why I wanted to call myself the yoni nutritionist because I'm a holistic nutritionist. So I talk not only about like nutrition for your vaginal health, but also like what's going on in your mind and also in your body energetically because it's all connected. And so, like, for example, in yoga, we have our chakras, which are the main seven energy centers in our body. And our two lowest chakras are responsible usually for the health of our sexual organs.
Oh my
And
gosh.
when those chakras are blocked, that's when we tend to have issues. A lot of emotions are stored in those chakras.
So, what do you recommend for unblocking them? Like energy healing, or is there are there any other modalities that you'd recommend?
Energy healing, Reiki, breath work. Kundalini yoga is like my go-to. I love it so much. And
Same.
depending on the severity of a woman who has potentially a sexual trauma and some stress she's holding on to in her yoni, finding a yoni massage practitioner in the area, or like yoni egg practice, where you insert like a rose quartz or a jade egg into your yoni, and it's has therapeutic purposes for emotional healing.
I've heard of a yoni egg, but I've never really gone too deep into like the research of it. So, I mean, not that there has to be like studies on everything and that doesn't really matter to me, but how big is the yoni egg? Is it like an actual like chicken egg size or like what are we talking here?
I wish I had mine here. I don't have it here. It's kind of like it's smaller than a chicken egg size. It's maybe like a quail egg size.
Ooh, okay. So
Like,
you just insert and you leave it in for long periods of time, and then over time you tend to like relax. Is that what the intention is there? Okay. That's awesome. Okay. Well, I want to back up a little bit and tell everyone, a little bit more about you and how what led you. I mean, yeah, you were in Nicaragua and you stumbled across the Yoni, but what led to those travels and, discovering more about yourself?
Well, I've had troubles with my yoni health my entire adult life. Well, ever since I was sexually active, I've been having issues with my vagina and my vaginal health. Ever since I was 16, I started getting yeast infections, UTIs, bacterial vaginosis infections related to sex. And then I, in my early 20s, got diagnosed with HPV and HSV. And for those who don't know what HSV is, it's herpes, and I have the genital herpes kind, and I've had it for a really long time. And I've just had so many issues, but it wasn't until about 6 years ago did I experience a candida overgrowth, which took over not only my vaginal health, but my entire body. So when we get a yeast infection, for example, it's an overgrowth of fungus. And usually this fungus lives in our gut and then it affects our vagina. But this fungus affected my entire body to the
How
point where
so?
I had cystic acne on my face so bad that my skin swelled up. Like I have a little bit of acne right now, but like all here, it was so crazy. I was embarrassed to go out in public. I was really struggling in my job. I was in the corporate world for like 12 years before I became a nutritionist, but I had brain fog so bad that I couldn't remember things that happened yesterday. My energy was so low. I had chronic fatigue. I had this cold that just would not go away. And I was getting yeast infections once or twice a month. And it just was like insanely unpredictable and uncomfortable and frustrating because every time I would go to doctors, they were just like, "Oh yeah, you've got a yeast infection. Here's an antifungal. Just it'll go away in a couple of days, and if it doesn't, come back." And I'm like, "But," and so I kept coming back. I'm like, "There's something wrong with me." But it wasn't until I did the research myself did I find out that I have this candida overgrowth. And I went to the health food store in my area. I bought all the supplements and I started the Candida elimination diet. And I did it for 6 weeks and it worked.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, it worked. And that was the turning point for me. I was like, I thought I was eating healthy and living a healthy lifestyle before. Oh no, I wasn't. No. And when it worked, I was like, oh my God, like you really are what you eat.
Yes.
It's so crazy. And everything that we put into our mouths literally affects our vaginal health, not only our vaginal health, but our gut health, which is also responsible for our endocrine system with our hormones and our immune system and our nervous system and all of the systems.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
that's what inspired me to quit my corporate life of 12 years to go back to school full time to become a nutritionist. So I went back to school to study holistic nutrition. And now I'm doing what I do as the
That
yoni nutritionist. Because I'm like, if I struggled as much as I did with my health, like I'm sure there are other women who are experiencing the same thing. And there are.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like I have so many girlfriends of mine come to me and explain these symptoms that they're having, and I always try to relate it to gut health. And a lot of us, and it took me to get to rock bottom, like where I was like, I can't handle these symptoms anymore. And there has to be something out there. There's a missing link. I'm missing something. And that was looking at the body as a whole rather than treating the area that was experiencing symptoms. So, yeah, instead of taking an antifungal, we would go and address gut health and really focus on creating a healthy environment so that all systems can work well. But yeah, so many women I feel like are embarrassed to talk about it because they feel like broken or that there's something wrong with them, or because a lot of people don't open up and talk about it, they probably feel like they're the only ones having to deal with this issue. So I really want to normalize it.
To be able to talk about it, not the symptom itself. It's not normal. It's not normal. It's common. It's not normal. So what did the Candida elimination diet look like for you?
Well, it was, I kind of went cold turkey with it
Okay.
because I was just like, at the same time, same as you were, like at rock bottom, I was desperate to change. So I was like,
Yes.
I will do anything. So basically, it was, if I can summarize it, it was good or protein. So like eggs, lean chicken, fish, low starch vegetables. So like a lot of greens. And good fats. Those were like the three main food groups. And good fats included like coconut milk or nuts and seeds, almond milk. So basically, those were the things that I included in my diet. Good fats, good quality proteins, and low starch vegetables. So I eliminated a lot of crap and anything that was real that was feeding the candida in my gut. And its favorite food is sugar. So anything that was sugar or anything that converts to sugar in the body is what I avoided. So I even avoided fruit, like be anything starchy, any gluten, dairy. Those are the main inflammatory foods. Anything processed or packaged, any I avoided alcohol and caffeine. So I really kept it to like a natural diet. So only whole, fresh, natural foods. And stuck to those three main food groups. And it worked. But it wasn't just the diet, it was also the supplements as well. That's a part of the protocol.
And those are kind of more bio individual, like based off like what your needs are. Are there any like top recommendations that you'd recommend?
For supplements,
Yeah.
yeah, antifungals are the most important at the beginning of a candida elimination program or diet, because what you want to do is you're starting to starve these bacteria, this fungus. So you'll start doing that with the diet because you're not supplying it with its favorite food source anymore. And then you're also eliminating it at the same time with antifungal supplements. So oil of oregano, for example, or
Oh,
caprylic acid is another one.
which
Grapefruit
is
seed extract.
caprylic acid. It's also found in coconut oil, right? The antifungal property. Yeah, and oil of oregano. I remember because I had a candida journey as well, but oil of oregano is so potent. It's
Oh,
awful. Like you can
that's
feel it going down
awful.
your throat, and it's strong. So be cautious with that one. But what about garlic too?
Garlic is also a great antifungal, antimicrobial, antibacterial, antiviral, anti everything.
I think it's just good to consume all around.
I put garlic in everything, but like fresh garlic.
Yes. No, like pre-minced in the jar garlic
Oh
that sits
no.
around for a little bit. No. We want the
And no
fresh stuff.
garlic powder.
No garlic powder. No, the good stuff, guys. And you went cold turkey. So does that, did you have any like Herxheimer reactions, like detox
Oh
reactions? Like
When
what?
the so it's in when the die-off or the
Yeah.
Herxheimer reaction, it's also called die-off. Yes. And for me that happened pretty fast. It was in within the first week that I started feeling worse before I started feeling better. So it's like what happens is when those fungus and bacteria starts to die, they start to release all kinds of like different substances in your body and alcohols actually, so it makes you feel a little bit drunk. But I got actually really sick, like flu-like symptoms in the in bed for like 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like a low, very low energy, headache, just like really tired and just not feeling good. I felt like I had the flu. But it's good when that happens because that's when you know it's working.
Yeah, that is. And it's funny because I never, it's different for everyone too. Like I never got the flu-like symptoms. I was hoping I would get them, but what I felt was just really like low energy, just, and then also for me, breakouts as well.
Yes, definitely. Me too.
So they're gonna look different for everyone,
And it
but
doesn't last long.
No. And it's not to get confused. I think whenever anyone is starting an elimination diet or anything like that, it's important to know right off the bat that you will feel some sort of detox reaction because you're going from an inflammatory diet to a very anti-inflammatory diet. So it kind of like just shocks the body in a good way. So you're going to go through this small phase and then ultimately you'll start feeling better. So that was your candida journey. And that was how long ago? 6 years
6 years
ago?
ago.
Okay. And within 6 weeks, 6 years and 6 weeks, you were like over it. Wow.
But
Yeah.
it's been a consistent journey ever since because I
Mm-hmm.
really don't want it to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
No, it's not like a one-time fix at all.
no, I
It's
mean,
a lifestyle change.
it is exactly a lifestyle change, and it changed my life. It changed the way that I eat. It changed the way I. So basically, now I eat for my vagina, and I know how to do that, luckily. But yeah, I have to because I'm really sensitive. My vagina is really, really sensitive. So I'm super mindful about what I eat. I love eating. I'm a huge foodie. So I love to enjoy my favorite things in balance, and I allow myself to. But it's very like 80-20. I love that rule. 80% clean, 20% indulge.
Yes.
Because otherwise, like if I go back to the way I was eating before, I don't want those symptoms to come back. And candida never actually goes away. Normally it lives really happily and harmoniously in our guts, but when it starts to overgrow, that's when we have problems. And sometimes I've done a random like 2 week candida cleanse here and there, 1 month candida cleanse here and there. But my symptoms have never been as strong as they were originally 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. For me, the candida, it was the brain fog, the terrible digestive issues, the reoccurring yeast infections, and also I had really dry scalp and really bad breath. Like it was really insane. And I pretty much did it a candida elimination diet, as well as so many other things. And candida can lead to so many other things. It's not just that, but it's hormonal. So what our gut health is a reflection of our hormone health. So if the candida that's living in our guts is overgrown, then that's an unhealthy gut, and that can create an unhealthy hormone response as well. So many things can stem from a candida overgrowth.
So
So,
many things.
yeah, so many things. So I want to talk about BV. Is that like similar to a yeast infection? I don't even know if like I have a full understanding of BV. No.
So
Okay.
BV or bacterial vaginosis is actually a bacterial infection, and the candida
And
or
yeast,
yeast
okay.
infection is fungus. So that's where
Yeast,
the
okay.
difference is. So when we get a
Okay.
yeast infection, normally we take an antifungal and it goes away. And that can take be taken like inserted through the vagina, or you can take an antifungal tablet. But with an antibacterial or with a bacterial infection, that's where a doctor would prescribe an antibiotic. And we all hate taking antibiotics, you know?
Yes.
But
It just
sometimes
perpetuates the cycle, like just over and over again. You might be fine for a little bit, but the next time you get it might be even worse, or it just keeps reoccurring and reoccurring. You're not getting to the root cause of everything.
exactly. But sometimes with some women, I mean, BV is the most common vaginal issue in women between the ages of 15 and 44 years old. And sometimes these issues are chronic and very, very, like they last a really long time and they're always there. And sometimes in those cases, we need to take an antibiotic to get it rid of it. But then what needs to happen is diet, because this is where diet is also so important, as well as with treating BV, because it's all connected to your gut flora and your vaginal flora. And with BV, it's a bit different than with candida because it's a bacteria. And so with BV elimination, you need to focus on healing the gut. So kind of an elimination similar to the candida, just not as restrictive, the candida diet, just not as restrictive, but also focusing on balancing pH levels in your body, because that's also the main issue with BV is that our vagina is usually very acidic, but this is like extra acidic. So it's always feeling like burning with discharge and often an odor, like a fishy odor. And it's triggered a lot by different things. Stress is the number one, sex, hormone imbalances, ejaculatory sex or sex with new partners, because your flora is getting used to a new person's flora. And yeah, diet is really the only way that you can keep it away consistently. And interestingly enough, as I've been working with, like, so many women lately have been asking me about BV, to the point where I've just created a new course to eliminate BV. But yeah, it's really, it's all connected to your gut health too.
So are there certain, I know there are similarities between like the symptoms that you would experience from a yeast infection versus a bacterial vaginosis infection, but are there any differences so someone can kind of like gauge, okay, what do I need to do? Or is there anything like that that you'd recommend?
Yeah. So the differences between a yeast infection and a BV infection are the smell. So if you notice an odor, like a fishy odor or a really strong odor that's really distinct, kind of fishy, that's a BV infection. Normally with a yeast infection, there's a mild odor, but it smells like yeast, like it smells like bread. The discharge is also different between a yeast infection and a BV infection. A yeast infection is kind of like white, cottagey, discharge, and the bacterial vaginosis infection is often gray and like kind of pasty, or it could be like a lot of discharge.
I've had both, and I remember just like, what is going on? And yeah, it would just be handed an antibiotic. So speaking of antibiotics, when someone has to endure a round of antibiotics, they should finish the complete round, right? And then what supplementation would you recommend, you know, after a course of antibiotics?
Probiotics. I recommend probiotics. I recommend all women to take probiotics because it's good for our vaginal health. But specifically for BV, there's actually a specific bacteria that is causing this overgrowth and this pH imbalance. It's called Lactobacillus rhamnosus. And
I'll put them in the show notes so people can actually see a visual of that and how that's spelled.
Yeah. And so you want to find a good quality probiotic that has this Lactobacillus rhamnosus in it. And there's a couple of different brands out there. There's one that I've done some research on that I would recommend. It's called, the brand is called Renew Life.
Oh, okay.
They also have like women's specific, like women's support probiotics. But the one for BV specifically has a 100 billion CFU.
Okay.
90 billion to 100 billion CFUs, and it has this Lactobacillus rhamnosus in it, which is really good for if you've been on rounds of antibiotics, especially to treat BV. It's good to replenish your gut bacteria with that probiotic.
How do you feel about boric acid suppositories?
That's a good question. I don't personally have a lot of experience with those because I've never used them, but I have had a lot of friends and clients that have been talking to me about it. And it's from what I've heard, like the past two clients that I've been working with that's tried boric acid said that it basically like burned off the vaginal lining.
Oh my God.
It's like that shit is strong.
Holy crap. That's so, wow. I wonder which one they were using. I can't remember the name of mine that I've used just a couple times. So basically, guys, for those who don't know what a boric acid suppository is, it's boric acid that's encapsulated. And what you do is stick this capsule up your vagina and it just sits there and it kind of just melts. And it clears out, I mean, whatever's going on in there. I would use it if I felt like a little bit of something coming on, like I wasn't sure what it was, but there's like a stinging, or if there's like a little bit of a discharge coming out, I knew that there was something off. So I would go in there and just do a boric acid suppository. I never had that experience with boric acid, but I guess it's good to just be cautious with anything that you're putting up there in your precious yoni.
Yeah, I've heard some really wild stories about like their skin, like basically burning off to the point where they were bleeding, like red blood,
Oh
not
my
like
God.
menstrual, yeah, almost like menstrual blood actually, but like, yeah. So I
That's
think you have to
wild.
be just really careful with that and just knowing your body. And if you do decide to use boric acid suppositories, like just if you notice any kind of discomfort or weird things coming out, maybe just stop.
Stop. Yeah.
But diet is just so important. Reducing stress, like really understanding what to eat, what not to eat, but also I think even more importantly is how to eat those foods. That's the key. Because it's also
Yes.
like BV is also related to blood sugar imbalances and hormone imbalances, and it's really important to understand how to eat those three food groups that I mentioned earlier, like in the Candida elimination diet, and making sure that you're eating consistently that way at each meal, 3 meals a day, and drinking a lot of water.
Yeah, and you just mentioned stress, which I want to put a huge emphasis on, because stress, if you're eating all of the right foods and, taking the right supplements, but if you're not eating them in the right state, then that can impair digestion, which could lead to malabsorption of these amazing nutrients that you're supposed to be absorbing. And then also with the reactivation of some viruses, like I know which we're about to talk about, herpes. It is a virus. So can you elaborate on the emphasis of stress and how it relates to that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, stress is my biggest trigger for all of my vaginal health issues. Candida, my Candida overgrowth, I was going through the most stressful time in my life. And whenever I'm really, really stressed, I get a herpes outbreak. And it's all my trigger is different. Everybody has different triggers that stress them out, that cause a herpes outbreak, whether it's up here or down here. But yeah, stress is because what happens is it starts to affect our nervous system and it causes our body to release the hormone cortisol. And it's like we go into a fight or flight state. And when that happens, all the nice things that are going on in our guts starts to really just get thrown off. Like you can be eating healthy, you can be taking all the supplements, but if you don't also manage your stress, that's when you can also have problems. If you've seen that meme, you can drink all the water and you can eat all the kale, but if you're not healing what's in here and what's in here, you'll still have issues. And that's the same thing for me. Like I have, I don't know, 20 supplements. I used to spend so much money on supplements and eating health foods and superfoods and all the things, but like if I wasn't managing my stress, I'd still get outbreaks.
Yeah, same here. That was, oh my gosh, such similar stories. I was eating all of the right things. If you looked at me from afar, like I was that girl who had my diet down to a T, supplements down to a T. Oh my gosh, like how could anything be wrong with you? Like you're taking such good care of yourself. But because I was such a high strung, type A controlling person, oh my gosh, was letting go like so hard, but I knew that's what was missing from healing completely and not having the reoccurring candida, not having these symptoms keep lingering around. And it's like, oh, why am I not getting to the bottom of this? Why are these symptoms not going away? Well, because the stress is still there. And you could like have this calm exterior, but on the inside, like if your mind is and your thoughts are racing, like your body's gonna know it. There's no hiding from your body. They're connected.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of it is associated to trauma. A lot of it's also, of course, from our childhood. And it's just like for me, I'm 38 years old and I've been doing a lot of like self-development work over the years, but I'm really noticing that a lot of the stuff from my childhood is really bubbling up now. And I know because my body is telling me.
Yeah, the
It's
physical
so crazy.
manifestations of the symptoms that occur because of childhood trauma. And sometimes, I think we are on autopilot a lot through our lives. And it's not until like something happens, something triggers it, then it's like these symptoms start taking place. And symptoms are the last thing to occur, right? So this may have been like simmering for a little bit, but now we're like boiling. And that's when, your body starts to actually see these things. So it's important to take care of your bodies from the get-go rather than waiting for these things to come on because it's not fun. Although, I mean, I always have to say, like, I'm grateful for it all. Like it led you to do what you do now. Obviously, it just took a lot to get through,
Yeah,
but
I feel like when these things start to bubble up, that's when these underlying issues are ready to be healed. And this is something that I talk about in my Candida elimination program too. It's called Fuck Candida because
Yeah, fuck it.
it. But I also talk about the emotions that are associated to Candida overgrowth in many women, which are like lack of self-worth, like feeling overwhelmed, feeling frustrated, feeling guilty, feeling like you're never enough, like you're never doing enough, you're never good enough, and so many other things. If you look at like Louise Hay, for example, like she talks a lot about the mind-body connection and these feelings, but it's just like that just resonated so much with me and so much with my Candida elimination clients too. It's like these feelings are just like the result of this trauma that we experience as a child. And if we don't resolve that, if we don't like heal those things, they'll still keep bubbling up until our bodies tell us, hey, hello, you need to start working. It's like a mirror. It's like our bodies are mirroring these things to us, which is a blessing and a curse, but a blessing because now these things are ready to be healed. But it's just up to you to actually do the work.
Exactly. So, what are some so talk to us about your herpes diagnosis. And I feel like a lot of us doesn't the, a lot of most of the population have like herpes simplex virus type 1, which occurs like cold in the form of cold sores on your lips.
Yes, but herpes
Okay.
type 1 can also be down there.
What? I
Yeah,
didn't know that.
girl. Yes. Let
Oh
me throw out some more stats for you.
my God. Yeah, tell me.
One in five women have, what is it? Well, okay, no. One in five women have HSV2, which is genital herpes, and one in nine men have it. Two out of three Americans have HSV1, which is the cold sores that you get on your lips. But HSV1 can also be genital.
Oh my gosh. So you won't really know until you go in and get tested?
Yep. And it's a mystery. And I think like we're learning a lot about viruses these days with the coronavirus. And I see a lot of similarities in the coronavirus versus like herpes, the herpes virus, because a lot of people live with herpes, but they're not showing any symptoms. And until they don't, and they actually don't know until they get tested. And you have to request a herpes test. And it'll tell you if you have HSV1 or HSV2.
So, like when I go to the OBGYN and get my pap, like I can just request a herpes test on top of that. Okay.
Yep. Yeah,
I
it's not a part
wonder.
of the normal STI panel. You have to specifically request it, which is so frustrating because I guess they just
Yeah.
don't think like it's not a serious enough virus. Like it's not a death sentence, It's not like you're gonna die. It's really interesting how it's not prioritized. But yeah, so yeah, HSV1 lives here and down here, and HSV2 primarily lives down here. But if I have a genital sore and my partner goes down on me, like I can't imagine them not getting an oral herpes sore. But
Okay.
I think this asymptomatic, like people who live with herpes or don't have any symptoms, I think that's the most common way that it's transmitted. Because I don't know who would want to have sex when they have an outbreak. Or, first of all, it's uncomfortable and painful. And why would you want to do that to somebody else? But I think the most common way is when we don't know that we're asymptomatic. Or when we know that we have it, but we're going through a phase called viral shedding, which is when we shed the cells of the virus and we're not usually aware of this, and that's how it's transmitted to our partners.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm learning a lot about this too, in regards to maybe like the flu vaccine and how like the virus sheds when we get that. So is that kind of like the same thing when you're actively experiencing the virus and you can shed it? It doesn't have to just be through sexual contact.
Yeah. Well,
Wow.
with herpes, yes, it is through sexual contact or like
Okay.
skin to skin contact.
Skin to skin.
But
Okay.
like, for example, if I am going through a viral shedding phase, I get genital herpes. If I'm going through a viral shedding phase, I may not have any symptoms of an outbreak, but if I'm going through this viral shedding phase, my chances are high, medium to high, to transmit it to my partner.
Okay.
But a way that you can reduce this viral shedding transmission is by taking an oral antiviral every day as a suppressive therapy. And it reduces the transmission rate of viral shedding in half.
Wow.
So for people who live with herpes and are sexually active, it's one layer, an extra layer of protection that you can give to both yourself and your partner is to take an antiviral every day as a suppressive therapy. And you know me, I'm a holistic nutritionist. I usually don't like to take medication, but sign me up for that antiviral medication because it's the only thing that helps me and helps it go away.
Yeah. I know so many women who are embarrassed to talk about it with any partners that they plan on being sexually active with, knowing that they have the virus. How do you recommend opening up? Because I feel like they think in their minds that this is a death sentence. They can never have sex again, and that's that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've lived with this virus for 17 years and I've been through so many ups and downs with it, but it is scary. It's scary to have these conversations. I mean, I'm about to disclose to a potential partner too, and it's so scary, but it's also just for me, the turning point was getting to a really good place within myself with living with herpes and really just accepting it and kind of using it, becoming friends with it. And kind of like using it as a beacon of light to my health. So like I know when I get an outbreak, that's my body, like red lights and sirens going off that I need to slow down. So, you know, like I've come to kind of terms with that and I feel like I love myself and I accept myself more actually with herpes. And that's giving me the confidence within myself to feel like I can go into these conversations feeling really empowered and being like, this is me. Like, this is a part of my life. I have all these facts and stats, you know, like this is a big part of what I do personally for my work, but like herpes is so common and it's a minor inconvenience sometimes. And
Yeah.
I'm confident in knowing that I'm doing the best that I can to take care of my body, the best that I can to take care of my health. I'm taking the supplements and making sure that I'm eating right and sleeping enough and resting and like trying to keep my stress levels low. I'm taking the suppressive therapy as a extra level of protection, and I'm going into these conversations fairly pretty confident. Still nervous, but also just like I'm so good within myself with it. If you reject me, well, that sucks, but like next,
Next.
it's a good filter, you
Yeah.
know. And if somebody rejects you for it, that person was not meant to be in your life.
Yeah.
It's on the
Exactly.
like look at what's happening in the I know this is easier for me to say, like there was a time in my life where I was really struggling with this too, but just to kind of put it into perspective in another way, like look at what's happening in the world right now with this coronavirus. Like millions. This is impacting millions of people's lives. Like, in the grand scheme of life, herpes is here and like everything else is up here. It's just like it's on the bottom of the totem pole of worry. That's what I say, because it's really just herpes happens, and you just have to get to a good place within yourself, which takes a lot of time and practice, but that's what helps in disclosing and for you to feel empowered going into these conversations rather than coming from a place of fear.
I love that so much. And I
Because
think
people
it's not,
know.
yeah, it's not just for women who are experiencing, having herpes too. I think a lot of women might have difficult conversations with anything. And I think what you just said, that advice goes so much with, any low feelings of low self-worth and stepping into a difficult conversation and knowing your truth and your worth, and if you really, really love yourself, so you can attract who's for you into your life.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think sexual health conversations are really important to, for anyone to have, whether or not you live with an STD. But like going into a sexual relationship or connection with somebody, being like, okay, like let's talk about this before we get into it. Like birth control, like what's your history? Like when was the last time you were tested? Here's the last time I was tested. Oh, I've had this before. And oh, I've experienced that before or whatever. I think these conversations are so, they're difficult for anyone, but they're so important to have.
Agreed. They're uncomfortable, but they need to happen, and we need to make them more common and not so taboo and awkward. But
There's
what
just
are
so much stigma, you know, there's so much stigma, especially around STIs, especially around herpes. I feel like that's where the fear comes from with everyone and just lack of education.
Well, yeah, because I think growing up alone, learning about the herpes virus in health class, it was just made out to be like this horrible and terrible thing. So I think, and talking about STIs in class, people were so afraid of it because I think the school systems implemented this idea that sex was bad and stay away from it. You know what I mean? So I think that kind of just stayed with us all along.
Yeah, there's a lot of feelings of shame associated with herpes, especially sexual shame. But like I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they're like, "So when you get an outbreak, is your vagina covered in sores?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Oh, that's what I thought it was." I was like, "No, I have one sore and usually in one spot, but it's not covered."
I think that's the those are the pictures that they show us in health class. They're
Yeah.
like terrifying. They do it to scare you.
For sure.
Oh my God. But
Like,
yeah,
well, the first outbreak is always the worst, but after that, it gets easier.
Okay. So what are some ways to keep your immune system at bay and like some ways to practice reducing stress in your life?
I love walking in nature. Like, just I could spend hours outside and just being in the park or in the woods or by the lake or water or something. I love meditation, yoga, working out, like being physically active, getting out of my mind and into my body is really helpful for me. And you know, those things boost your happy hormones, which then boost your immune system, you know, but then also immune system, like diet, of course, gut health, and supplements, probiotics, and there are also specific supplements that you should take if you do live with herpes that can help manage, prevent, and heal outbreaks. So really understanding what those are, and also what the foods to eat and avoid that trigger herpes outbreaks or that help to heal herpes outbreaks are also really important to understand, because it's really everything is connected. As you can tell, like the three main topics we've talked about so far, it's all connected to gut health and what's, you know, and nutrition, and what you're putting into your mouth is literally like that's, and what's going on in your mind too is really what you need to manage all of these things.
Yeah, the yoni is so directly correlated with gut health, and we need to just stop making excuses. And because I think so many things, objections that I get to like eating healthier, or living a healthier lifestyle, or like, but I love X, Y, and Z, or like pizza or like cookies. And no, like, why should I feel fine? And I think what people need to be reminded of is that, okay, you might feel fine now, but what's it going to cost you? Or like, do you really feel fine? I think that's like the question we should be asking ourselves. Like, do you really feel fine? Do you feel like you're actually living your life to like your fullest potential? Are you showing up in relationships how you actually want to show up? Or are you living in discomfort knowing that you get reoccurring yeast infections and I don't know, so many symptoms. And I think if you choose to still eat, you know, a standard American diet, then that's going to cost you in so many different ways as well. Like, I think also another objection that I get is the cost of eating healthy. A lot of people think that it's really expensive, but I think what's more expensive is how you're showing up in life, and maybe later on down the road, some medical bills. I know my doctor's visits cost me way too much money.
Yeah. One big thing I hear about is like restriction and changing habits. So people are just so afraid to change their habits and to change it. They think that it's restrictive, but it's actually not. And like, for me, like I teach you ways. In fact, actually the plans that I would put you on, you'd probably be eating more. This is weird. But, and you know, it's just like, also like the cost of your lifestyle. Like, so many women, when they have yoni health issues, are experiencing like so much shame around their vaginal health that it's affecting their relationships. It's affecting their confidence within themselves. Like, I know when my yoni feels good, I am like juicy and magnetic and high vibe and sensual and like goddess. But when I have issues with my vagina, I'm like, wah, wah.
Yes. Not feeling yourself, just not wanting to go out, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to speak because you're so uncomfortable with yourself. How are you supposed to be comfortable around other people? You know?
Like when I had my candida, it was affecting my relationship because I was afraid to have sex because I didn't want it to come back. Mm-hmm. Or BV, like, yeah. So, and the vaginal odor, like so many women are embarrassed and
yeah,
starts to impact their relationships too.
So with yoni steaming, have you done yoni steaming?
I haven't.
You haven't? The yoni nutritionist hasn't done yoni steaming?
I know. Isn't that wild? I was supposed to do it when I lived in Bali, but I didn't get a chance.
Oh, dang. Yeah. So I made like a makeshift yoni steam at home. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe I'm sharing this right now. But I ordered the herbs online and I, as soon as I got it, I got to work. So I brought like, I can't remember how many cups of water. I think it says on the directions to boil. And then I poured in the herbs and I let them simmer for like 15 minutes, I think. And then I just poured them directly into a big bowl that I didn't really care about. And I put that into the toilet. So like I was sitting on the toilet for 20 minutes and the steam was just coming into my yoni, and oh my God, I've told so many women about this just offline, and they've done it themselves, and they were like, that was such an experience, and it was so like meditative almost. Ooh. Like it just feels so good, so feelings of warmth. And I know a lot of women use it postnatal, healing hormonal imbalances, healing any like period issues as well. I've heard some women do it at the end of their cycle, like if there's any brown blood that they typically get at the end of their cycle, and just to make sure like everything's coming out of there. But I haven't done it in, oh gosh, over a year now, but I almost want to get like a yoni, because you're supposed to actually get like a yoni, what is it, like a stool kind of, and then have the herbs underneath you. And I know there are like some places as well, like wellness centers that offer yoni steaming as well, but I wanted to DIY it because I know it was a lot less expensive.
Yeah, too. For sure. That's so cool.
That was fun. I'm so into like just trying everything at home.
I know I should really do that too. I really should. I can't believe I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, cool. Well, we've talked about so much today. Is there anything that you think that the listeners should know more about Yoni Health?
I think one last thing is, which is another common question that I get, is around HPV.
Oh,
And
yes. HPV.
HPV is the human papillomavirus, and it is one of the most common STDs out there. I think like 80% of the population come into contact with it at some point in their sexual lives. So it's really, really common. And there are hundreds of different varieties and strains of the virus. But the most common ones are the genital warts kind, and the kind that starts to, I guess, manifest on the cells of our cervix and can be identified when we get a pap smear, and which can lead to cervical dysplasia, which is like really a high level changes on the cells of the cervix. And if that's not treated, it can lead to cervical cancer. So it's really something to be aware of and make sure that you're getting your pap smears regularly to check to see if there's any HPV or cervical dysplasia. For me, I had it too, and I had it was really bad for me. Like I was bleeding a lot during sex in my early 20s when I first got it, and spotting between
Gosh.
periods. And
Was it
that's
painful, like the sex? Yeah, okay.
So I went to my doctor, found out that I had HPV, at which led to cervical dysplasia because I kept getting abnormal pap smears, and then I had to get a colposcopy, which is a
What is that?
procedure. It's a procedure done by the gynecologist where you're on the table with your legs spread open, and they rub this like iodine vinegary solution on your cervical cells to see, and then they watch it with this like crazy light microscope thing to see if there are any change, how the cells move around and change. And then if there are any concerns, they take a biopsy after that. And then like for me, I had to have something called a LEAP procedure, which was an outpatient hospital, like a surgery, an outpatient surgery at the hospital, where they burned the cells of my cervix off with a laser.
Ouch. Oh my
It's it
gosh.
wasn't actually it wasn't painful because I was asleep, and afterwards I didn't have any more issues with it. I would sometimes get an abnormal pap smear here and there, but never to the point of seriousness like that. And because the HPV is a virus, it's very similar to like herpes in a way where you're focusing on boosting your immune system through diet, through supplements, through reducing stress, through all of the holistic practices. So for the many women living with HPV, I think it's also important to note that it's also diet, boosting your immune system, eating whole fresh foods, getting 3 meals a day, eating lots of protein, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or a meat eater, making sure that you're getting enough protein, making sure that your gut health is good, supplementing with probiotics, and knowing what other supplements to take or other foods to eat that will specifically help you boost your immune system.
Yeah. How is HPV contracted?
Sexually.
Just sexually. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so if you have it, you have to disclose that to your partner who you plan on being sexually active it with. 'Cause does it happen all the time?
I don't know, like that's kind of a gray area.
Okay.
Like I never disclosed that I had HPV because I just assumed that it was so common that most people had it, but I would disclose my herpes
Oh, okay.
diagnosis.
Yeah, because I had a friend a while back. She told me that she had HPV and she was so ashamed and embarrassed that she had it. And she says, "Well, now my partner has it because I gave it to him and all that." So, but yeah, like you're saying, all going back to gut health. Just living a healthy lifestyle, and then you really shouldn't have to experience these outbreaks on a regular basis.
Yeah. And the funny thing is with herpes, I know we were just talking about HPV, but with herpes, It's really hard to identify who gave it to you and when because the virus can live in your system asymptomatically for a long period of time. It's hard to be like, oh, because I thought, oh, my boyfriend cheated on me and gave it to me. Well, maybe I had it for a long time and I just didn't know it because it's not on a normal STI panel.
Do you know if the herpes simplex virus one, if you can be born with that? Because for the longest time, like I remember getting cold sores when I was like a little girl when I hadn't even kissed anyone yet. Or, I mean, I guess I did share like drinks with parents and stuff. Like, is that a possible way of contracting type one?
Babies can contract the herpes virus when they're born through mothers who have genital herpes.
Ooh.
I'm not
Ooh.
sure if you can contract it, like in your case, if that's the case, but I know, like, if you share drinks with people who have outbreaks, and like, usually they say the virus can't last on surfaces, but I think it can very minimally. It's hard to know, like, it's hard to know the exact like pathology details about the virus, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember just all through middle school. That was when I was at the height of type one. It was just a cold sore outbreak all the time, or and sometimes I wouldn't even label them as cold sores because cold sores tend to have like a really rough and pink surface. The ones that I would experience were more like pimple-like. Are those like the same?
If they were like little blisters.
They weren't blisters, although I have had blisters like on my chin. Is that, and from what I remember when I was going through my holistic training, as well, I went to my instructor and I had like the worst outbreak. And of course, I was like so stressed at the time as well. But it was a blister on my chin. And I mean, whatever it was because my immune system wasn't responding well to stress. Man, stress. But
Stress.
it'll get ya. You got to make sure you're managing it. And that's the thing. Like, I think so many people, when we tell them to reduce their stress, yeah, you can take some things off of your plate. Like, if you were the type of person who was like me, where I was wanting to control a lot of things, and I was like, okay, what can I take off of my plate right now? But a lot of it is realizing that all of us are going to experience stress at some point in our lives on a regular basis, especially with the lives that we lead today. Especially if you're working a corporate job, for example, and the commute to and from work, being in traffic, like these are daily stressors that occur. It's all about how you manage it and how you respond to these things. And like Adrienne is saying, it's a practice. It's a daily practice. You're not going to get it overnight. And I think people get stressed out about that too. So stressing about the stress that they can't
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the work is hard, and a lot of people don't want to do it because it's hard, and it also brings up a lot of things for people, and people like to avoid feeling that way, but the only way out is through. That's the only way.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, cool. Well, is there anything else that you want to add? Or you think we covered
I think
everything?
that's it.
Yeah, we covered a lot. So one question that I like to ask everyone at the end of the show, because it is the human experience. What makes you human, Adrian?
That was a great, I love that question.
Oh, thank you.
What makes me human is I have fucked up a lot. But I have learned from those mistakes. I mean, I am not perfect. I'm 38 years old. I could write a book of my life experiences, but I'm still learning and I'm still growing and I'm still practicing and just continuing on. And like in an authentic in an authentic and honest and heartfelt and kind and compassionate as much as I can way.
I
And
love that. And that's the human experience. Okay, cool. Well, I think so many people will benefit from this episode. And to continue reaching out to you, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Yoni Nutritionist. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
YouTube. I didn't know you had a
Yeah.
YouTube.
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
my gosh.
I
Oh
talk
my
about a
gosh.
lot of fun things on my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's awesome. I will definitely link that in the show notes. I'll have to subscribe to your channel once we hop off here.
Yeah, for sure. And I've got three online courses: my Fuck Candida online Candida elimination course, the BV elimination diet, which I just created, and my Healing Herpes Holistically platform, which is like for people who live with herpes who want just all of the information that doctors just don't teach us and they don't want to Google it. So I have those three things that I offer on the Teachable platform. And what else? I think that's it. I'm on LinkedIn, but that's
For anyone on
not as
LinkedIn.
much.
Awesome. I think now is such a good time to sign up for these courses too. While we're recording this, while we're in quarantine, guys, I don't know where we'll be once this airs, but either way, anytime's a good time to start healing yourself and put those miserable symptoms to an end. So I will link everything that you just said in the show notes, Adrienne. Thank you so much for hopping on the show. I had so much fun chatting with you, and I will catch up with you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Bye.
Much love. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys, to another episode of the Human Experience Podcast. I do always appreciate your love via Instagram DMs and now any ratings or reviews that you have to give my podcast. I would love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And of course, feel free to share with friends and family so that others can hear my voice too. Until next time.